I'd like to welcome now Ron Jones from NOAA. Ron is the Internet Project Specialist with the National Weather Service. He's doing some very innovative work, and his first talk will be an introduction to NOAA Watch.
Thank you, Susan. First of all, it is a pleasure to be here and to talk with you all. I'm going to be talking about a web page, a website. That's not the story. The story is how we build this website and keep it running on literally a shoestring budget. The name of the site is NOAA Watch. It evolved from the post-Hurricane Isabel report done by NOAA in 2003. For those of you in the Washington area, back in 2003 when Isabel came through, it had a significant impact from the Norfolk, Virginia area right on through the Washington, Baltimore area and up the coast. Anytime there is a significant weather event, the Weather Service and NOAA conduct post-storm assessments. How did we do? How can we do better? One comment that was made was a very glaring comment. NOAA has really good information, if you can find it. That didn't sit well with NOAA management. It didn't sit well with the employees who were creating all this content. But we were tasked, we, the IT community, the web community of NOAA, was tasked with build a storm portal. Okay? Well, we can go out, we can develop portal software, we can obtain commercial portal software, we can really build a world-class portal. What kind of budget and what kind of staffing do we have? None and none. But still build it. And by the way, we want it to be a one-stop shop. We want everyone to be able to come in, get all the information they need from one place, before, during, and after. We want it to enhance the value of the coast, the oceans, the atmospheric data that we hold. Go build it. Tall order. We didn't want to start creating new content. That was not our purpose. We wanted to simply aggregate the existing information, and we envisioned this portal from the very beginning as the information kiosk at a mall. You are here. The store you want, the information you want.
Could I just ask, for those of you using mobile devices, maybe turn them off. We're getting feedback, maybe move back from the microphone. I'm not sure, but that. Okay, thank you.
Ah. Several.
Okay.
All of you.
That's helped in the past. Not sure.
Again, it was envisioned as the kiosk at a mall. You are here. The store you want is down this corridor. The information you want is over here. Whether it came from NOAA or other government agencies, here is the information you want. We looked at the holdings within NOAA, just for the hurricanes and the storm pages. Well, the National Weather Service provides radar information and forecasts. The local weather forecast office, we have 122, provide local hurricane statements. The National Hurricane Center provides the track forecast. NESDIS provides satellite images. The National Ocean Service provides storm tide prediction. The Buoy Data Center provides buoy reports and archived information. The Hydrologic Prediction Center, rainfall. Aircraft operations are managed by OMAO, and the Office of Atmospheric Research does the research and modeling. Not one format was identical. There was no consistency here. And then we looked at, okay, other parts of the government, FEMA, DHS, Health and Human Services, Department of Defense, Department of Agriculture, Census Bureau, all put out information dealing with hurricanes. And again, always consistent. Again, zero staffing, zero budget. This is a tall order. created a page that aggregated a great deal of information on one simple page. This was a storm page. In fact, this is a screen capture of Tropical Storm Fay over the weekend with information on the actual three-day forecast track in the top center. That's the thing that everybody wants to see. Where is it? Where is it going? But they also want to see radar image information. Radar imagery, thumbnails, are on the right side of the page. And as you can see, I'm getting notified that we have a lot of tornado warnings being issued in Florida as a result of Fay as we speak. When this screen capture was taken, the center of Tropical Storm Fay was just to the south of Cuba. A lot of good radar data from the Meteorological Institute of Cuba. So there is a link to that data on the page. Local watches and warnings, hurricane local statements, the seven-day forecast. How is this going to impact me on the left? The small thumbnails on the left below that with a lot of green are rainfall prediction amounts. The World Meteorological Organization, as the parent body for all meteorological organizations, is linked so that a user can go to any meteorological service, not just the U.S. National Weather Service. If they're in the Caribbean, this is a resource that they should be able to use. And then down toward the bottom of the page in the center, buoy reports, the tide information, satellite thumbnails, these all update as soon as the new data comes in, sometimes as frequently as every 30 minutes. And then links, informational links to FEMA, Health and Human Services information at the bottom. You know, we could have said, this is a success. This is a storm page. We're finished. Some of the content is static. Some of the content is updating from the National Hurricane Center, making use of Real Simple Syndication, or RSS feeds. They post information. The information immediately updates on this page. While we could have said, this is a success, we're done, let's walk away, and management would have probably said, you've met our requirement. We realize that hurricanes are not the only environmental hazard that NOAA is involved with. And hurricane season only runs from May 15th in the eastern Pacific through the 30th of November. So about 6 months out of the year, this web page, the storm portal, is going to be stagnant. From a web design perspective, that's hardly the way to get anyone used to coming to your site when they need to visit. So we looked at some of the other hazards, severe weather, earthquakes, tsunamis, flooding, excessive heat, drought, all the way through space weather, winter weather events, air quality, coral bleaching, rip currents, monsoons, red tide events. They're all in the news. NOAA is involved with each and every one of these events. It's important for us to get the story out, but remembering that the formats were not always compatible. The operating systems, the platforms of the servers, were not always compatible. The challenge of building this all-hazards monitor was even greater than what we found with just the storm page. What we developed was an extension of the Real Simple Syndication, the RSS feed from the National Hurricane Center, into a news page, aggregating or collecting RSS feeds from across the government, across NOAA, highlighting the top news events of the day. These news stories are included in with a graphic or two. In this case, we had Tropical Storm Fay down in the Caribbean. We had the Pacelle in the eastern Pacific down toward the bottom. some volcanic activity in the Aleutian Islands. Hurricanes are not a big threat up there, but the air quality was being impacted by volcanic ash. Severe weather stories. There was a, I believe, a story on this particular screen capture of NOAA's response to the oil spill along the Mississippi. So we were collecting all of these news feeds, these RSS feeds, and populating the center of the page. On the right-hand side of the page, we quickly realized, hey, we can really use this as a way to expand our outreach and education efforts on these various topics. And on the left side of the page, in the left column, thumbnails of local watches, warnings, and advice. That particular thumbnail updates every minute. Radar imagery, that updates every 10 minutes. Flooding, that updates every 30 minutes. Satellite story, drought monitor, thumbnail, right on through. One of the most complex issues we had to deal with was how do you express to the lay user, El Nino, La Nina. ENSO is a tough topic to introduce. We came up with what we thought was a very simple idea, a gas gauge. The gas gauge is at the left side of the page. Toward the left, in the blue, is cold, the La Nina. We're basing those numbers on the actual sea surface temperature averages over a three-month period. Toward the center is neutral. Toward the right, in the red, is warm, El Nino. And then we have links below that. What is the impact on weather of this? Again, looking at the holdings we had within NOAA of all of the information on El Nino and La Nina, nobody could find it. This way, we could easily point people to the right information. That little gas gauge is something that I have tracked onto blogs in Russia as a quick way to express the strength of El Nino, La Nina in the Pacific. So it's been picked up very quickly by users. All of the stories in the center are updated, not by the NOAA Watch staff, of which there are no full-time staff members, but by subject matter experts from across NOAA, and in some cases from other government agencies. I mentioned on the right-hand side of the page, we use the small little icons as a way to keep the consistency of each of the themes. These theme pages are overview pages. They provide specific information on each type of event or hazard and how we partner with other government agencies, with state and federal and state and local agencies, and in some cases, universities with research. In this particular screen capture, it's an example of the earthquake theme page. People do not think about NOAA and earthquakes. But we archive a tremendous amount of information on historical earthquake information. But real-time information comes directly from USGS via an RSS feed. When an earthquake is recorded, the RSS feed is updated automatically by USGS. It displays on the page in the upper left down toward the bottom center are the USGS shake maps showing where the epicenter was. And we also have a listing of recent earthquakes directly from USGS. Now, one of the things that we also recognized very early on with these theme pages, these outreach and education pages, if you will, was that we're not always the subject matter expert on each topic. The earthquake page was reviewed by the people in NOAA that deal with archiving earthquake information. information. We also sent it to USGS for review. And their input was incorporated into this page, and we have a routine review to make sure that the links are good and the information is good. The information is still valid. So these theme pages have become just a wonderful outreach and education tool. We've introduced the theme pages, the NOAA Watch site, at a number of conferences and meetings, including the Red Cross Coalition for Organizations for Disaster Education, AARP, AMS, the American Meteorological Society, FEMA, Integrated Emergency Management Course, the National Science Teachers Association, National Conference. In addition, we have demoed this site to a number of federal agencies. Each one of them has said, this is a quick way for us to gather our information and get information back to you. So the three components of the site, the main page, the theme pages, the overview pages, and the event-specific pages, the storm page, all make use of this RSS technology, these XML news feeds, if you will. We can ingest this RSS feed from one source and use it multiple times. The archiving of the pages, of the specific event pages, is something that we found was very important because even today, one of the most searched terms on the Weather Service website is Katrina. All of the post-event reports that were compiled by NOAA on Katrina are posted on the archived page, and we've got it archived by year. More importantly, people are not just coming to the web page. They're subscribing to the RSS feeds. They're using the RSS feeds on other pages, on other sites. In fact, those are more popular in some cases than the actual pages.
Excuse me, Ron, I'm having a little problem with my machine. Could you announce slide 10 and as you, I'm sorry,
yes.
Slide 9 and as
we're,
you go
we're
forward.
On slide 9, yes. A quick review of the editorial process of the RSS feeds. We're dealing with people that are not web content developers. These are subject matter experts. We want to make it as easy for them to understand as possible. Everybody understands the newspaper. You're a reporter. You're a subject matter expert. You're a developer of content. Update a news feed, and we're going to make it very easy for you to do. We're going to have that information reviewed by your editor. The editor is going to look at the completeness, the timeliness, the accuracy of the story. And just like on the Metro section, if the editor approves it, it's going to get published. But that story may not make the front page of the newspaper. It then goes to an editorial board. The editorial board will sit down and argue which story is the most important story of the day, and in some cases, of the morning, of the afternoon. So our editorial process allows the reporter to file the story, it to be reviewed by an editor, a subject matter expert, and finally approved for publication and pushed out by the editorial board. RSS feeds are very popular across the government. A lot of agencies are putting them out, and that's great. We love to get RSS feeds. It helps populate our content without us having to do any work. I didn't say that. You're recording that too, aren't you, Susan? But it does. The content updates, and we don't really have to do anything other than subscribe to the feed. But not every office, Not every organization creates an RSS feed, nor do they want to go out and either buy a small application to generate RSS feeds or start developing something that will automatically create RSS feeds, especially if they're only filing a few stories a year. For the Weather Service, we generate RSS feeds for every watch, warning, and advisory issued, and that feed updates every minute. 11,000 counties updating every minute. It's an automated process. USGS is another example of an agency that has automated the process of updating timely, critical information into RSS feeds and other XML formats. So, realizing that not everyone is going to do this, we set up a tool, and it had to follow the theme of RSS. It had to be really simple. It had to be cross-browser compatible. The worst thing I can think of is developing something that requires you to use, you must use Windows, you must use Internet Explorer 5.5, patch 3. It had to generate standard output. Again, if we're going to talk standards, let's enforce them. So we settled on RSS 2.0 as the standard. And again, there had to be that review and approval process. We didn't want an RSS feed being created that had never been reviewed and been being published on NOAA Watch pages. So we set up an editorial board. The reporter updates an RSS feed, possibly an image. They're only working on a staging server. They can never touch the production server. The editor reviews and updates the RSS feeds. They can update images. They can approve the update to move from staging to production. The editorial board reviews, creates new channels, and finally moves the feed into production. Very similar to the earlier diagram of the approval process. I said it was really simple. This is a screen capture from the reporter's perspective. They've logged in through a web browser. It doesn't matter if it's a desktop, laptop. We've even had them updated through BlackBerries. They log in. They're shown these are the items that you're allowed to edit. And in this case, they're allowed to edit only the channel, the test channel. That's the only thing I've granted this particular reporter permission to use. Once they've said, I'm going to update the test channel, going to slide 14, fill in the blanks. I'd like a title. That's the news headline. What headline would you like to see? A description, a brief synopsis, a summary of the story. As we tell the reporters, capture my interest and make me want to follow the link. Then they're required to provide us the link to the rest of the story, the full details. And the author, the email address of the reporter. Those are the elements that are required if they have an image that they want to link to. They provide the URL for the image, the size, the width, the height, the image caption. The image caption is converted into an alt tag to make sure that no matter what we put out, it is going to be 508 compliant. Once the reporter has filled in at least the four required elements, they click submit. They're done. The reporter has done their job. They're finished. To slide 15, the editor of the particular channel or topic gets an email. Hey, editor, there has been a news item added to your channel, and it provides the email address of the reporter. Please review it. So the editor comes in. They have a few more bells and whistles on their screen. They're able to see additional reporters at the top of the screen. They're able to grant permissions, add new reporters. For example, if someone in their office is now filing a story, they can add that. They're also able to go down to the item administration and see the channels that they're assigned to. And when they click on the channel or the item, the screen looks almost the same as that of a reporter, with one exception. There's a box called Active. It's an approval box. Does the editor, after reviewing the contents, the timeliness, accuracy, completeness, and for formatting of entries, approve the story for publication? Once the editor has reviewed and approved, has just clicked on the drop-down, changing it from no to yes, the editor clicks the submit button, and an email goes to the administrators of the system, the editorial board. We have an administrative screen that is extremely cluttered, so I'm not going to show it to you. It lists all of the reporters, all of the editors, all of the channels. The important box is we can delete channels or RSS feeds, or we can generate an RSS feed. The only time we actually create the XML file, the RSS feed, is when the editorial board clicks generate. At that point, we now have an RSS 2.0 valid RSS feed on a public-facing web server that sits separate from the NOAA Watch servers, an added little bonus for security, and on the NOAA Watch servers, there's a cron job that says every 10 minutes, go pick up all of these RSS feeds to display on the NOAA Watch site. It's been a very popular, lightweight way for us to create and share the RSS feeds. The review process has worked out extremely well. The use of the tool has been embraced by, as I said, we have Department of Commerce using this tool to generate some RSS feeds for internal use. We've had HHS update feeds from fires and flooding and the health impacts on the population. One of the things that I got a comment from with the RSS feed, HHS was going to put out a news release, and then they were going to call some of the newspapers and some of the radio stations and let them know, by the way, we've got a new podcast up. By the time they got about halfway through the list, they were getting the message, oh, we've already got that. How did you get it? The RSS feed. You updated it and told me where the podcast was. I went and grabbed it. It's already on the air. So it has provided a great way of getting information out quickly. As I said, I've even updated some of the information on the site simply by logging in through a BlackBerry, touching an XML file, and update the site. Some of the things that we have learned from the syndication. The information is coming from authoritative sources. For a weather warning, the most authoritative source you can find is the National Weather Service. For earthquake information, the most authoritative source you can find is USGS. For health impacts of flooding, ashfall advisories, air quality, HHS and CDC, just the fact that the information is coming from an official government source and is attributed to that government source carries a great deal of weight to the user. This is XML. It's simple also be expanded to GORSS, which is going to be one of the next steps that we take, so that we have Tropical Storm Fay moving through southern Florida right now. That's the evacuation route. And I'd like that evacuation route current, up to date, and from the latest source. With GORSS, we can start displaying polygons, maps, lines, points. We'd like to do some podcasting, some audio files. Podcasting and videocasting is nothing more than RSS with one additional tag for enclosure. The information is consistent. It's coming from the authoritative source. The display of it can vary greatly, but the content is the same. I've looked at Weather Service warnings on a variety of blogs and web pages. The display varies from page to page, but the content is the same, and it's coming directly from our RSS feed. So the people that are reading the information are getting the same information, the same message. Instead of having to wait for, well, here's an email, let me update a web page by going in and doing HTML editing, or let me get to my email through RSS, we push the RSS feed out for the warnings, and I said, we update those every minute. The update to the subscribers of the RSS feed is almost immediate. Another advantage is, how many of you run email listservs? Share a number. How much time do you spend dealing with, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe from this list. You have to help me out. And then we have to worry about dealing with storing their email addresses and information that may become compromised if we're not careful with security. Subscriptions to RSS feed is just the opposite. We don't store any information. The user subscribes and unsubscribes themselves. It makes it much, much easier. They don't have to send an unsubscribe request. They simply remove the feed from their aggregator. If they want to see the RSS update in their email box, that's fine. If they want to use it on a personalized homepage like iGoogle, MyMSN, MyYahoo, they're free to display our information on their page in the format that they want. I was just at a meeting down in Asheville talking about the new climate services portal that's being developed. And one of the people said, you know, it would be really wonderful if we were able to get this information out to the users. And I took a small little graphic. It shows the average high and low temperatures for a month versus the observed high and low temperatures for a month. Simple little thumbnail, dropped it in an RSS feed, and then turned around and said, do you mean like this on my iGoogle page? And I said, that's amazing. How did you do that? Here's the code. So the fact that we can get the information out to a variety of users without having to have a lot of infrastructure behind it is powerful. You always hear, well, if we syndicate our information, if we put our information out, people won't visit our site. One office within NOAA, I will not mention which office, did not want to create an RSS feed because it was going to take some extra work and they did not see the benefit of it, quite honestly. We convinced them that, yeah, you really do need to put together an RSS feed. It will be something popular, especially during hurricane threats. Statistics from last year, August of 2007, there were three named storms. Their website got 2.6 million visits. 2.6 $1.6 million. $1.4 million came from NOAA Watch, just because we were using their RSS feed. The previous 2 months combined, they had less than 1 million visits. It was a well-hidden site. It was a useful site. It was well-hidden. Simply by publishing the RSS feeds on NOAA Watch, people not only found the site, but they started subscribing to the RSS feeds. The web administrator called me up and said, "You're not going to believe these numbers," and showed me the changes over before the RSS and after the RSS. We're now finding this information posted on, this morning I was on the State Emergency Management Office for Florida. They're using the RSS feed as part of their briefing tools. If we allow other agencies to post content, it's going to pose a risk. The review process, the approval process, goes a long way toward minimizing that risk. Using RSS feeds from trusted sources, like other government agencies, and the proper attribution of the RSS feed is critical. I will display an RSS feed, for example, from Census Bureau on hurricane impacts. And the first question I had was, why is Census putting out an RSS feed on hurricanes? And they looked at me and said, one of the questions we get is, how many people are going to be impacted by Tropical Storm Fay? I never thought of that. So they put it out in an RSS feed. And I look at the feed, and yes, it says, this data comes from the Census Bureau. I'm going to display that without any problem whatsoever. If there is a question as to the validity of the data, I have provided proper attribution to the source. The source is not NOAA. It's not the National Weather Service. It's the Census Bureau. And the final one, it just is too much trouble to syndicate content. Nobody uses RSS. It's not going to be popular. I've never heard of it. Of the top 20 URLs pulled from the NOAA Watch server, 11 are RSS feeds. Just to give you an example, on weather.gov, of the top 20 URLs of the entire domain, weather.gov, 9 are RSS and XML feeds. We have looked at server logs. We have traced the RSS feeds back to federal, state, local government sites, blogs, commercial sites, ham radio operator sites, the El Nino gas gauge, as we call it. The only thing I could read on the entire site, it was a Russian blog, was, there's our gas gauge. And it links back to NOAA Watch. There is no way of counting the number of times that the RSS feeds are used on the personalized home pages like iGoogle, but we know just from the number of hits on the server logs that they are very popular. I can tell you about all of the server logs, but it's the user comments that really come into play. One of the first comments we got, the new website, NOAA Watch, is fantastic, excellent graphic design. It was very simple, very basic. We didn't want to overpower anybody with complex site. The key, almost everything you'd like to track is right there and completely easy to find. That's a measure of success. Another comment, I just want to thank you for the great job you've done in improving the website, especially the graphics associated with the hurricane. Tropical storm tracking, it is absolutely super. This public advisory page I just printed has it all. We looked like heroes. All we had done was grabbed RSS feeds and created some tools to allow people to generate RSS feeds. And just so that you know how recent these comments are, first thing this morning. I just visited your NOAAWatch.gov to check on Tropical Storm Fay. Good site, very informative. I would suggest adding a simple wind field depiction and projection graphic as well. As I said, this is RSS. It's easily expandable into GeoRSS. And the next step that we're going to be taking is using GIS tools. Right now we've got a license, NOAA-wide license, to use Google Maps to display exactly what this person has asked for, wind field and projection graphics. During the winter, 150 to 200,000 hits per day are recorded on the servers for NOAA Watch. For Edward, the most recent storm that I've got statistics on, we were averaging 2.5 to 3 million hits per day. Another measure of success. I told you this site has been demonstrated to a variety of government agencies, FEMA, Customs and Border Protection, Nuclear Regulatory Commission. A measure of success is the number of agencies that are using NOAA Watch as the go-to web source and command centers and command posts. In the DHS Operations Center, the NOAA Watch desk uses the site as their single source of the daily MET packages to prepare briefs for DHS Secretary. We've had a lot of input from users going, can you add this? Can you add that feature? Can you add this information? Our standard response is, do you have it in an XML format? We accept RSS. We accept Atom feeds now. We accept CAP, Common Alert Protocol feeds. We can't accept Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, but we do accept XML, KML. Voice ML is something we're looking at. So by using standard formats, aggregating content, and making it very easy for people to access and use, we think we've come up with a lightweight tool. And again, zero staffing, zero budget to manage the site. On slide number 20 is my contact information, and I'll also throw out one last piece of information. The administrative interface to generate the RSS tools was developed in-house on a Linux, Apache web server, MySQL, PHP platform. As I said, it's developed in-house. If anyone is interested in getting a copy of the entire application, please give me a call, drop me an email. We will send you a CD with the entire application, installation instructions, and a complete comprehensive user's guide for reporters, editors, and administrators of the site.